You see, believe that the Bible is God's truth. It's living, it's active, it's the only infallible way of faith and practice, uniquely and fully inspired by the Holy Spirit. So we need to know what it says, and we need to believe what it says. Our scripture this morning, following in these first six chapters of Joshua, is in chapter 2. I'm going to read to you the entire chapter. It's about Rahab. Hear God's word. And Joshua the son of Nun sent two men secretly from Shittim as spies, saying, "Go and view the land, especially Jericho." And they went, and they came into the house of a prostitute, whose name was Rahab, and lodged there. And it was told to the king of Jericho, "Behold, men of Israel have come here tonight to search out the land." And then the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, "Bring out the men who have come to you, who entered your house, for they have come to search out the land." But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. And she said, "True, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from. And when the gate was about to be closed at dark, the men went out. I do not know where they went. Pursue them quickly, for you will overtake them." But she had brought them up to the roof and hid them with stalks of flax that she had laid in order on the roof. So the men pursued after them on the way to the Jordan as far as the fords, and the gate was shut as soon as the pursuers had gone out. Before the men lay down, she came up to them on the roof, and she said to them, "I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that the fear of you has fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land melt away before you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, whom you devoted to destruction. And as soon as we heard it, our hearts melted, and there was no spirit left in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in the heavens above and on earth. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that as I have dealt kindly with you, you also will do kindly with my father's house. And give me a sure sign that you will save alive my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and deliver our lives from death." And the men said to her, "Our life for yours, even to death. If you do not tell this business of ours, then when the Lord gives us the land, we will deal kindly and faithfully with you." Then she let them down by a rope through the window, for her house was built into the city wall, so that she lived in the wall. And she said to them, "Go to the hills, for the pursuers will encounter you, and will hide that you hide there 3 days, and the pursuers until the pursuers have returned. Then afterward you may go your way." And the men said to her, "While we will be guiltless with respect to this oath of yours that you have made us swear, behold, when we come into the land, you shall tie this scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down, and you shall gather into your house your father and mother, your brothers, and all your father's household. Then if anyone goes out of the doors of your house into the street, his blood shall be on his own head, and we shall be guiltless. But if a hand is laid on anyone who is with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head. But if you tell this business of ours, then we shall be guiltless with respect to your oath that you have made us swear." And she said, "According to your word, so be it." And then she sent them away, and they departed. And she tied the scarlet cord in the window. And they departed, went into the hills, and remained there 3 days until the pursuers returned. And the pursuers searched all along the way and found nothing. And then the two men returned. They came down from the hills and passed over and came to Joshua the son of Nun, and they told him all that had happened to them. And they said to Joshua, "Truly the Lord has given all the land into our hands, and also all the inhabitants of the land melt away because of us." This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray a moment. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for loving us and giving us this word, this story, Lord, of how you dealt with your people long many years ago. A story, Lord, that is an image of how you deal with us today. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would move within us and interpret to us, teach us, convince us of how this word is our word, of how you want to make us more like Rahab, in a sense, how you want to give us the confidence that you gave Joshua and the people of Israel. Oh God, transform us, change us, help us to be more like Jesus, more like that image in which we were created. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the power of your word. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. As I shared a bit ago, we're in a series following the first six chapters of Joshua, where God is fulfilling his promise, a promise he made first with Abraham hundreds of years ago. Now the people of God were being led into the promised land, into that land that God had promised to give them, and they came to know as their promised land. The story, it's, as I said, a great image of how God fulfills his promises to his people of all ages. Those people, Israelites then, and us today. How he has a plan for your life and my life and ours together as his church, and what he wants to do as he leads us into that plan and that promise. In the first message of the series, we focused on moving. God is always moving. God is always moving. He's taking us from one place to another. He's moving us out of the wilderness, out of the desert places, into the promised places, into the holy. Always God is moving. Always. From the world into God's kingdom. Ultimate promised land. God told Joshua, it's time to turn the page. Look forward, not back. Take a step. Trust the promise. In the second message, we focused on the courage that it takes to follow. God was underpinning Joshua, if you would, to go where God leads. Be strong and of good courage. Over and over again, he kept saying it to him. Even more, as we realize that courage is not a natural feeling. Courage is an attitude. It's something we develop. It's nurtured. It's a choice. It's a choice that we make when we're trying to follow where God is leading, no matter what. And today, as we go through this series, we're going to focus on faith. Faith directs our courage and defines our trust. Misplaced faith leads to a lost life and a promise unfulfilled. Hebrews chapter 12:11, called the chapter of faith, the hall of faith, if you would, because it contains a whole big list of the great people in the Bible, great people of God who accomplished great things because they had faith in God's promise. And that changed their world, and they changed the world as well. Included in the list, people like Noah, Joseph, Abraham, Moses, and the person we're going to talk about today. Here's what the writer of Hebrews said about her. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. That's all. You know, I know when I first read this verse, I was surprised. You mean, we don't get ark stories, we don't get any stories about Goliath, and yet this Rahab, somehow she gets into the hall of faith. How did she get into the hall of faith? right beside the big names of faith, you know, the best of the best. I mean, I can see Abraham, I can see Noah, I can see David. How did a prostitute find her way into this very special list? Well, let me tell you, that's why I like this book so much. You know, this is a great book because it introduces us to a God who reaches into very ordinary, often very messy lives and transforms us into masterpieces for His glory. That's exactly what God was doing here, and that's exactly what God does in your life and my life every day if we have faith, if we believe, if we trust. Rahab's story is in so many ways my story and your story, or it should be all of our story. It's a story for everyone who yearns to know more about God, who wants to be more in God's plan and God's purpose, to follow Him closely and not at a distance. To know more about a God who wants us to enter into His promised land. The story begins for us in Joshua 2 with Joshua sending these spies into the territory known as the Promised Land to them. And Joshua said, go and look over the land. He said, especially Jericho. That was an obstacle right there. So they went in and they entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and they stayed there. Want more explanation, right? There's that word again, prostitute. You know, if this were CNN or one of the big news channels, we wouldn't even pay any attention to it. It wouldn't even raise an eyebrow. But since it's the Bible, it gets our attention. Has it ever crossed your mind why the spies chose to stay at a prostitute's house? Well, there may be a couple of reasons, probably maybe more, but a couple of good ones. You see, the concept of family-friendly hotel was not then as it is today. It didn't exist. And most travelers, when they went to another city, would stay with friends or relatives. When people visited a city where they knew no one, they had few options for lodging. Typically, the men stayed in an inn, which almost in every case served as a brothel, sort of doubled up. But the second reason, I think, the writer of Joshua, names her name and profession. She's a prostitute. Her name is Rahab. Is to emphasize that this woman was as lost as you can get. We can't imagine a worse situation. She was at the bottom of her society, a complete sinner, if you would, as if there was a grade in all of that, without any positive future, without any real hope. She was as much in the desert as you could possibly be. Believe it or not, there are a number of parallel truths between Rahab and ourselves. One of those truths is that it's possible to live in the promised land without living a promised life. This city where Rahab lived, Jericho, was in the land that God had promised to the people of Israel. It was a land flowing with milk and honey. Remember all the stories? A land where the Israelites were told they could live in peace and prosperity and freedom and happiness. Rahab was already living in that promised land. But she was not experiencing the promises. In fact, as far from it as you could be, she was had the most degrading occupation a woman could have. Beyond that, her life was turned upside down, and she wasn't the only one. Virtually everyone in Jericho and the surrounding countryside was filled with fear, afraid of what was to come. They were terrified. They were cowering inside those city walls, wondering when the next shoe would fall. Rahab told the spies in verses 10 and 12, we've heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt. and what he did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, whom you devoted destruction. As soon as we heard it, our hearts melted, and there was no spirit left in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God. The Lord your God, he is God. Interestingly, she doesn't use a generic word for Lord here. She uses the proper name for God, Yahweh. For Yahweh, your God. He is God. Sounds like a profession, does it? A profession of faith? He is God in the heavens above and the earth beneath. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that as I have dealt kindly with you, you will also do kindly with my father's house and give me a sure sign. Rahab, along with all the people of Jericho, were living in the promised land, but they weren't living the promise. Why? Because they were living under the leadership of the wrong king, the wrong God. And we see this all the time. We see it in our life. Most of us are members of the family of God. We're involved in a great church. We're surrounded by Christian friends. But we struggle too often to live the promised life. Why? Because we're living under the influence of the wrong king. Many people in this situation say, well, gee, I need a change of scenery. I need a new town, a new job, a new set of friends, a new wife, a new pastor, a new boss. Because there's something wrong with my surroundings. Isn't that so? Don't we say that? You know what? God's first priority is you. God's first priority is you, not your surroundings. Rahab didn't need to move to a new city, as if she could. She needed a new kingdom to be established where she was. That same might be true for you or me. Do you need a new government in your life? A new authority? Sometimes we need to take ourselves off the throne, off the power, and give it back to God. Quit trying to operate in sort of a shared experience, a partnership. A new source of leadership, a new kingdom. You know, if we want to enter the promised land and live the promised life, the life that God has promised that we should have, that abundant life that John talks about, that life we all dream of or yearn for, but very few of us get there in any meaningful way. You don't need to change scenery. You don't need to go to a new church. You don't need to get a new pastor. You don't need to get a new wife and new friends and all that kind of stuff. You just need to change authority. You need to surrender control of your life to the real king, to Jesus Christ. So the question that we face, the question that Rahab had faced, is who is your king? Who is your king? Can we say, as she did, that the Lord your God, he is God. The Lord our God, he is God in the heavens and on the earth. Totally God. Totally. Too many of us are living in the promised land, but not living the promised life because we're not fully committed to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And that's true. It's true of me in many ways, and I bet it's true for you as well. We're in the same position Rahab was in, aren't we? The good news is that we don't have to stay there. The good news is that our life can change when we're ready to make the change. That there is an opportunity, there is an opening as God calls us to it. And that's the second truth that I want you to see. It's possible to undo a life of sin with a single act of faith. Look at verse 12 and 16. Now then, Please swear to me by the Lord that I have dealt kindly with you, as I have dealt kindly with you, that you also will do kindly with my father's house, and give me a sure sign that you will save my father and my mother and my brothers and my sisters and all who belong to them, and deliver our lives from death." And the men said to her, "Our life for yours, even to death. If you do not tell this business of ours, then when the Lord gives us the land, we will deal kindly and faithfully with you." And then she let them down by the rope through the window. For her house was built into the city wall, so that she lived in the wall. And she said to them, "Go into the hills where the pursuers will encounter you, and hide there 3 days until the pursuers have returned. And then afterward you may go your way." Rahab was a prostitute. She had lived a life of sin and sensuality. And then she heard stories. She heard stories about this miracle-working God of the Hebrews, how he delivered people from the land, from the hand of Pharaoh, how he brought them out of slavery in Egypt, how he directed them and protected them and provided for them over the course of a generation as they wandered across the desert. Something inside of her caused her to realize that God was different from any other God. That this God was indeed the one true God. That's something, that call of the Holy Spirit in her life. God was the one true God. And it was this God that she wanted to serve. It was this God who could help her. It was this God who could take what was a seemingly impossible task and make it happen. Because look at what he had already done. So she took a bold step. She took a step of faith. And she protected these spies. And as a result, her life was saved. Had it not been for her act of faith, she would have perished with the rest of the city. But her faith saved her. Remember the words of the writer of Hebrews. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed. You see what happened? An entire life of sin was changed by a single act of faith. That's one of the most glorious truths of the Bible. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, it can be changed with a single decision. There's no such thing as living in the desert and living in the promised land. You can't do them both at the same time. One act of faith is all it takes. One step in God's direction is all it takes. And the pain and the guilt and the shame and the degradation of yesterday will all be gone, disappear forever under the transforming power of the grace of God. That's good news. That's good news. One act of faith, that's all it takes. One act of faith. What does it mean to make an act of faith? Well, it's more than intellectual assent, certainly. It's more than just saying you believe. It's more than just reacting to what's around you. An act of faith is just what the term implies. It's faith that leads to action. It's faith that does something. As the book of James says, just as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. Faith has to be alive. Rahab's story shows us that. She shows us that faith requires risk. She put her life on the line for these spies who visited Jericho. She didn't know them. She didn't know anything about them. But it was her chance. It was her opportunity. And she knew what this God of theirs had been doing. And it brought fear into her life. I think truly physical fear, but I think it also brought awe into her life. Reverence, if you would. This God, as she professed, he is God of the heavens and of the earth. Any act of faith that we take involves risk. You may have to risk being lonely. You may have to risk being laughed at or being poor because you're giving your tithe to the church. So you don't have that extra money, whatever. You may have to risk being unpopular or any number of other things. But faith will always involve risk, so be prepared for it. But another thing we can learn from Rahab is that faith is also involves choosing sides. You know, when the king's men arrived at Rahab's door, they were asking, where are the spies? And she was faced with a choice, wasn't she? To whom will she be loyal? Which colors would she wear? Faith requires you to choose one side or another. You think about that in our world, which pushes us so hard to compromise. Another item is faith requires trust. When Rahab saved the life of the spies, all she had to go on was their word that her family would be saved. She didn't have a written contract. She didn't have a guarantee. All she had was trust. Trust. When you take your step of faith, you have to put your trust in God that He will come through, that He's true to His word, to His promise. And finally, faith required for Rahab to identify herself. It would require for us to stand apart from the world of which we are in. The men said to her, "We will be guiltless with respect to this oath of yours that you have made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, you shall tie this scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down, and you shall gather into your house your father and your mother and your brothers and sisters and all your father's household." The scarlet ribbon, Rahab's way of identifying herself with the Hebrew people, her way of saying, "I am one of you. I am one of you." You know, she tied that ribbon in the window as they left. She didn't tie it in when she saw them coming across the Jordan. She tied it in the window as they left. No matter what kind of mess we make our life into, no matter how steeped we can get into the world of sin, we can always experience God's transformation. And we can always live the life that we really desire and that God wants for us to have, if you're willing to take that one crucial step of faith. If you're willing to take the risk. If you're willing to choose God's sides, if you're willing to trust Him, to honor His word, if you're willing to brand yourself as one of His people, your life will change. One last truth I want to leave you with. God has a future. He has a future for you and me. He has a future for this church. With God, our life can change the world. After Rahab made the arrangements with the spies, the Bible says in verse 21, she sent them away and they departed. And as I said, she tied that scarlet cord around the window. A few chapters later, when Joshua conquered the city of Jericho, it says, "Rahab the prostitute and her father's household and all who belonged to her, Joshua saved alive. And she has lived in Israel to this day because she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent to spy out Jericho." Now, saving the lives of the Hebrew spies dramatically changed Rahab's life, but it was only the beginning. It put her on a whole new course. She started over. She got married, we know. She raised a family. Not the kind of result you would expect of one who was living the life of a prostitute. But it's exactly what you would expect of a person whose life had been restored, who had been redeemed by God, who had become a new creation through His grace. And there's more. It's always more with God. Rahab had a son. Rahab had a son. His name was Boaz. Anybody remember that? Familiar name, sort of. It's the same Boaz that was in the book of Ruth. Married Ruth. They together had a son named Obed, who had a son named Jesse, who had a son named David. That's him, King David. You know, the guy who killed Goliath, who's listed in the Hall of Fame right over there in Hebrews 11, who wrote so many of the Psalms. She was his great-great-grandmother, this Rahab, this prostitute, whose life was changed because of an act of faith in the grace of God. Rahab went from being a prostitute to the matriarch of a king. Think about it. You see what a difference can make through the life of this woman? What a difference can make through one single act of faith? King David wouldn't have been King David without Rahab. Where would Solomon have been? Well, he wouldn't have been around either. Joseph wouldn't have been Joseph. And her participation in the royal bloodline contributed to the greatest event in the history of the human race, the birth of Jesus Christ. Wow. That's a pretty cool resume, wouldn't you think? If you want to understand what's going on, I want you to hear that we all have the same potential. Not because of who we are, but because of whose we are. Not because of our natural abilities, she had none that were worth speaking about, but because of our faith. With God, your life, my life, our life together can change the world. The Roanoke Valley is nothing. The world and beyond. Sounds impossible, does it not? Isn't this whole story a story of the impossibility? When this story began, Rahab was a prostitute living in a brothel that doubled as a hotel. Her life was moving in one direction, and it wasn't a good direction. She was living in the promised land, but she was not getting any benefits from the promises. But God changed Rahab's life for better and forever. He did it by one act of faith that undid a life of sin and began a new life of promise and a new life of purpose. God is pointing us, you and me, in that same direction. If you're not living where you want to live, then quit following the wrong king. It's that simple. Surrender your life to Christ. Let him be the king. Let him come in and take control. Take that step of faith. Step in his direction. Put your trust in his ability, his power, his faithfulness, his plan. If you find yourself living in the promised land only without the benefit of the promises, where many of us are at times, then the challenge of this passage is to refocus, recommit to Jesus as the center of your life. Step forward and step toward his promise in faith. And behold, believe it or not, you will see what God will do with you and with his church. We have a great God, indeed an awesome God. And these stories of God leading his people, out of the wilderness into the promised land, out of darkness into light. This story is our story, as much as it ever was a story of the Israelites. Next week, we're going to continue the story and deal with the inevitable obstacles. There are many, but the story next week is about one great big one.